Well, good morning, Neely's Creek Sunday School.
We're going to be looking at Lesson 5
this week.
Lesson 5 is going to be covering the Passover and the Exodus of Egypt. And so we have chapter 12, verses 1 to 51 in front of us for this week. So just reading the passage is a pretty large task. And so we're going to dive into that in just a moment. Before we do, let me make you aware, if you were not aware, which if it has happened to you, I'm sure you are aware that we have had an issue with the quarterlies. If you have the large print edition of the quarterlies, you may have noticed that your lesson, I believe it was for last week, and I'm not sure if there's any further discrepancies. I do not believe that there is. That your lesson from last week was actually from the book of Hebrews again. And it should have been from lesson 4 from Exodus 6. So listen to the lecture, listen to the Sunday school curriculum that I'm recording here. Listen to the text from there. For that lesson, you will just need to ignore that lesson in your book if you have the large print edition. Sorry about that. We obviously have no control, but it looks like there was a printing error in that particular copy. So that's why I try to give you the lesson and the page number that we're going through in the quarterly, but I also give you the scripture reference, and that way if there is any kind of discrepancy, at least you can grab your Bible and know where we are and continue on. And so I'm hoping that you did the same last week, but I just want to make you aware that we were made aware that there is an issue there in those large print editions. All right, well, let's go before the Lord in prayer, and then let's look at Exodus chapter 12, found on page 16 of your quarterly. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that as we remember these things as recalled by your word through your prophet Moses. So, Lord, as we remembered them, but, Lord, have never experienced them for ourselves, but your people at this time did, I pray that their profound impact in the work that you did to bring your people out of slavery, out of the bondage of sin, to bring them out by your own mighty hand, that you may take him into the land that you have promised, and that you would provide for them, and you would care for them, and they would go out to worship you. I pray that those events may find anchor in our own hearts to understand this Passover lamb, to understand its looking forward unto our Lord, and looking forward to the redemption that we would find in you as your people, even in this time. Pray these things in Jesus' name, that we would honor, that we would worship, that we would seek you. I pray for every heart in this time in which we're studying these words together. Lord, if they are discouraged, I pray that you would raise them up. Lord, if they are walking, but they are not walking with you, I pray that you would bring them back, Lord, because they're wandering. Lord, if in any way that we would need your Spirit to be at work in us, whether it is to convict, whether it is to encourage, whether it is, Lord, to catch a fresh sight of you in all of your power and your majesty and your glory, knowing and being able to just understand who you are. And Lord, who we are in relationship to you. Lord, that understanding given by your Spirit, it will reconcile us. It can reconcile us back to you. Because when we look upon our Savior and we look upon the sacrifice that he has made on our behalf, Lord, we suddenly, and we must know who we are and who we have been and how in our own sin we were dead. We were bound in the slave market that produces only death. But in him we have been made and set free and given life. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and how he sits at your right hand, as your word tells us, making intercession for each one of us, because we have been made your people, and we long to go and to be with him. But Lord, until that day comes, I pray that you would make us prosperous servants in your economy, working in your vineyard, harvesting that which has been ready to be harvested. Lord, I pray that you would help us to worship you with all that we are, to love those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, to live together in unity. And Lord, most of all, to worship you wholeheartedly in the congregation. Lord, that you would bring us back in safety and in peace. Lord, even if that may not look like what the world can guarantee, but it would be a safety and a peace that you are our Father and that you will care for us and that you have called us to worship you. Lord, come what may, we are yours. Lord, may we find peace and confidence in you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's read, starting chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted with its head, with its legs, and its inner parts. You shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, and your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you. when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leaven from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall be a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is on the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house till morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.' And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Go up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also.' The Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, 'We shall all be dead.' So the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading bowls being bound up in their cloaks and on their shoulders. The people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. And the people of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. A mixed multitude also went up with them, and very much livestock, both flocks and herds. And they baked unleavened cakes of dough that they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not wait. Nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. The time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night, as a night of watching, kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every slave that is bought for money shall eat of it after you have circumcised him. No foreigner or hired worker may eat of it. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside in the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. If a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. There shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you." All the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their host. All right. So we have been looking at the plagues that the Lord brought upon the people of Egypt. And we have noted how Pharaoh hardened his heart and how the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let Israel go, even after the blood and the frogs and the gnats and so on and so forth, all the way down to the death of the firstborn. Now, as we can see in this passage, at the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh summons Moses and Aaron, and he says, "Go, take these people and their flocks and their herds." But also, do you see what he asks? In verse 32, "Be gone and bless me also." I think that's a very interesting comment. Seeing the death of his firstborn, so we'll see that Pharaoh's still yet going to turn about on some of these promises to let them go, and we'll look at that next time a bit. But the people are going. The Lord has brought them out of the land. No matter what Pharaoh does, it is the Lord who is in control. It is the Lord who is bringing them out. It is the Lord that has gone before them and will be their rear guard. It is the Lord that will provide for them. It is the Lord that even provides for them as they go. He has told them that they will be eating unleavened bread. They were unable to let the bread rise, so they ate the bread unleavened. He has told them, and he has given them favor with the Egyptians. They did not go out empty-handed, but they borrowed from their Egyptian neighbors precious things, silver and gold and fine clothing. They went out not empty-handed. they went out as a great people in number and in herds and even in possessions. For they went out as the Lord's people, going out before Him to worship Him, going out into a land that He has provided for them, the land of promise, the land of plenty. And they go out as such a people. What does that say about the Lord? And how He does love and how He does care for His people. And how His people will go into His land. They will be His people. They will worship Him there. And He will be with them in their midst. But I'm giving away some of the end of the story that we will study in this next few lessons to come. Let's take 2 points. 2 application points. You've heard the narrative. There are so many nuances. There are so many details that we could spend hours on in this passage. And I wish we could. Maybe one day we can. But let's focus on 2 things. Let's talk about the Passover lamb. That kind of has a focal point in this narrative. The Passover lamb, it was a lamb that was selected by the people that they would have kept and that would have fed their children, would have been around. They selected this lamb, though, not as their own possession. But they selected this lamb as one that they knew that they would slaughter. They selected this lamb as one who would die for not something that the lamb had done, but that it would die for this household. This is already a very powerful picture because this event, this Passover, it's reshaping the very calendar, reshaping the way that the Israelites would look at their year. This Passover would be a celebration in perpetuity. This Passover would be celebrated to remember that it was the Lord and not their own might that brought them out of Egypt. This Passover would be celebrated and would be looked to by Israel and those with Israel, which we will get to shortly, to see that their redemption, that their salvation from slavery, that their salvation would be accomplished by the Lord, and that the punishment, the death that belonged to the firstborn in their own homes, that death would not be placed on their firstborn, but that death would be placed on a lamb. A spotless, blameless lamb that did not deserve the wrath that fell upon it, but that lamb was killed and it was consumed by those in the household. They partook of that lamb together. They partook of it in unity, eating it all, leaving nothing. And while they were doing this, the destroyer, the angel of death, passed right outside their door. And he saw the blood. He saw the blood of that spotless lamb that had been painted, that had been daubed and globbed all the dark blood of the innards of that lamb on a doorpost, signaling death had already occurred there. But not the death of that firstborn, but the death of the lamb covering, barring that door from the death that occurred in Egypt, in the households of those that dwelled inside those doorposts that were not covered by the blood. You see, it would have done no good for them to simply have killed the lamb. The blood had to be applied, or their firstborn would have died. If the blood was not applied to the doorpost, then the destroyer would have come in, and the firstborn would have been killed, just like in the households of the Egyptians. So what do we make of that? What do we make of that? It draws my mind to Isaiah 53, and I want to bring you to there. Isaiah 53, verse 2 says, "He grew up like a young plant, like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look on him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering, acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned all to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? He was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people." This lamb that the dark blood of its bowels were smeared on the doorpost, that its throat was cut, that was eaten after being roasted over an open flame, this lamb that's blood was applied to these doorposts, there is and has been a lamb who grew up as a tender shoot, who was blameless. This one, fully God and fully man, Jesus Christ. It was his blood who was shed on two posts. It was his blood that must be applied to the doorpost of your own heart. It is his blood that will save you from certain death because of your iniquities. Because you are not neutral, and I am not neutral. We deserve the wrath of God poured out upon sin. but his blood applied to us signals that we are his and we belong to God's household. And he has brought us out of the slavery in which we once toiled. And he is bringing us and taking us to the promised land. We're not going alone. Israel, God's people, even when they left Egypt, there were others. There was a mixed multitude with them. God's purpose has always been to bring his people home, to redeem his people. His purpose is for the nations. Even in Abraham, all the nations would be blessed. It's because when he made a covenant with Abraham, and when he has looked forward at the cross of Jesus Christ, when all the nations of the world may be blessed by Abraham's descendant, he saw you and I and those that would be counted righteous and blessed, be counted amongst his people in the covenant that he has made. Our Sunday school material in point 4 says it this way. That observation leads us to the restrictions at the meal at the end of the chapter about who can eat the Passover meal. Uncircumcised foreigners were allowed to journey with Israel out of Egypt. Indeed, they could hardly have prevented them. But such people were only permitted to share in the community-defining meal with Israel if they and all their males of the household, young and old, were circumcised as an act of faith in Israel's God. Foreigners could be included into Israel by faith, but no one who had not submitted to the sign and seal of the covenant, circumcision, could share in the covenant meal, Passover. We enter in by faith. We have been baptized into God's people, and we by faith are his. And so that we see that God is ushering his redemption forward, even and most assuredly by this exodus of Egypt, and showing his covenant faithfulness to his people here. And so we can see our covenant-keeping God has kept his promises. And our covenant-keeping God has loved you with an everlasting love. And he will continue to do so, and he will accomplish that which he has begun. So a little bit from Exodus. Thanks for being with me this week. We'll continue to look at what our covenant-keeping God is doing and will do and has done. Thanks.